what's the help? So that's why when I go to the different academic, I should be smiling. So they are good actors. It's just that people have different agendas. It's you guys. What do you express that concern? This is where Silas can help collaborate. And I'm coming to you with what we're designing, what we're putting together, and your input will help us do that.
So we still facing it?
Thank you.
mutual demand and stuff. They're very demanding. I'm always vocal, but I'm not. But I try. But the thing is, on my
shirt,
you're
not.
Oh,
he's
so
cute.
Let's
take it one step at a time.
Just because he's vocal doesn't mean you have to give him everything he asks.
Oh, and that's not.
Yeah. Is there anybody here from ESSAC? Yes or no? No? Okay.
Guys, we're going to reconvene here in just another minute or two. We're waiting for the policy staff. We had a session on the schedule for the ESSAC, but they did not make it. So they didn't make it. Judy, I have your Diet Coke. Repeat, Judy, I have your Diet Coke. Yeah, no, this is not delivery. See, when I'm sitting at the front of the room and you're at the back, you can be all embarrassed and walk up here and get, oh, John Berryhill Delivery Service. Yes, thank you, John. The man with the hat has many many purposes here. He has many hats. He has many hats. Yeah, does he actually? I don't know that he does.
Okay, let's call in our next contestant.
Matt. If someone on your team could just clarify the schedule. It's James in the back. Just clarify where you're at in the schedule just for the purposes of the transcript.
Sure.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Sure. So we are awaiting the ICANN policy staff, Marika Konings. When she is here, we will begin the policy. Oh, geez, you're right in front of me. Were you really here the whole time? I am an idiot. And they
didn't
show
up.
But now it's fine. So we're back on schedule. Marika, come on down.
Come on, Marika.
Okay, you're trying to make me crazy. You were not there the whole time. Crazier, I should say. Okay, well, both James and I are crazy.
Do we need to rejigger the audio at all, or are we good? Skippy. McHale. Sure. Do we need to rejigger the audio, redial back in, drop a line, drop a deuce, anything?
Do you have a mic?
We do have a mic. We have we have many styles. You can stand at the, you can walk. That's fine. Okay. We've got the Adobe Connect up behind you. We've got screens. We've got refreshments. There's mints. There's coffee.
Great. Yeah, so. Can I just sit down and have them then? And then I'll wait a bit more. No.
Oh, yeah. You could do that too. So go ahead with that. I'll turn things over to Marika. Marika.
Hi. Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Marika Konings. I'm a senior policy director and a GNSO team leader within the policy staff of ICANN. Here together with Brian Pack, a colleague on the GNSO team. And we have other colleagues around, but are actually covering some of the other meetings. So here, just providing you a policy update, so giving you the main developments from a GNSO perspective, what projects are currently ongoing, which may interest you. Michaela did tell me don't bring too many slides, which of course I didn't listen to, and I've brought you many, many slides. But the idea is if you can maybe go to the next slide. I've basically listed some of the topics that are currently under discussion or where there are immediate opportunities for either input or participation or decisions. And actually wanted to hear from you if there are any others you want to hear about. So this is, you know, if it would be up to me, I would probably just cover the first four items and the other ones just leave it in the slide deck for you to review at your leisure. But if you tell me we really want to hear about, you know, RRTP Part D, I think you already heard about B and C this morning, I'm happy to talk about that as well, or any of the other topics here, or if there are any other items that you know the GNSO is working on or discussing, let me know. So I'm looking around. D? Okay, we can cover D.
Adam Eisner, PDPD. Great, love it.
Do you want me to start there, or...?
Hold on one second, slow down. Did Adam Eisner just volunteer for a PDP?
No,
he volunteered to have a discussion on the PDP. He did not volunteer to participate.
Because if he'd volunteered to participate, I'd want to kind of, you know, capture this moment.
Noted. So let me maybe first briefly then cover the first four items, and then we just go to IRTP Part D as well. Everyone's happy with that? So we can go to the next slide, please, and the next one. So looking over domain name subject to UDRP proceedings, I think I've already been speaking to you before about this topic. As I think you're all aware, there's currently no requirement under the UDRP to actually lock a domain name, but it is a practice to fulfill the requirement to maintain status quo. But there's no standard procedure around it. We did a survey amongst registrars in which many of you participated, or the working group undertook that survey, and actually found indeed that there are many different approaches and practices around that. Can go to the next slide. So this is actually a PDB that came out of an initial report on the, or an issue report on the review of the UDRP, and the council actually decided to only look at this specific narrow issue as it's a real concern to many, and actually leave the other items of the UDRP to a later date. So working group has been working really hard on this topic. We have participants from many registrars are participating in this working group, but also UDRP providers, members from the IPC, ALAC, business constituency. So it's a broad group of participants that have been discussing this issue. So as said, we got input at the start from registrars as well as UDRP providers about their experiences and the issues they have encountered with this issue. We held a public comment forum. We also reached out to the different stakeholder groups and constituencies for input. And now we're actually at the stage that the working group has published an initial report. So the report itself lists a number of preliminary recommendations. Most of them basically codify existing practices that are in line with the UDRP. And we hope that these will actually clarify and make it really clear to all the parties involved what the requirements are and which different steps need to be followed in the process. As said, most of them are actually just clarifications. However, there are a few items that may require changes to the rules if they would be adopted. So we just want to point that out as well, or may require changes to UDRP provider supplemental rules. So if we can go to the next slide, please. So just a brief snapshot, and I really want to point out that we're actually having a more detailed session on this on Thursday. So if you're interested in this topic and really want to get more detail on all the recommendations that are in there, please come to the session, which I believe is from 9 to 10:30 on Thursday. I'm looking to Michele, he's the chair of the working group, so if you have any complaints about this, just talk to him, not to me. So basically, very brief, the report contains 11 preliminary recommendations, so specifically saying preliminary because the working group is looking for input and feedback on these before they want to will finalize their report.
Constructive feedback, preferably.
Constructive feedback. So don't say you don't like it. Just tell us, you know, why you don't like it and what you would like to see changed.
Exactly. I got attacked by about three people in the bar last night.
Oh, really? Okay. So and then they actually read the report. That's good news. Look at it from the bright side. So it contains 11 preliminary recommendations. First of all, a definition of what locking means, because as I said, there's currently is no definition of what that means. One of the main elements there, I think, that will you know, will affect registrars is basically requiring registrars to apply this lock within 2 business days following a request for verification from the UDRP provider. And to mention, like, the locking means basically preventing any changes of registrant and registrar. One of the changes that I mentioned that may would require a change to the UDRP rules would be removing the obligation for a complainant to notify the respondent at the time of filing, as it has been identified as one of the main reasons for cyber flight. So basically, it's a complainant can still do so, but it's no longer a requirement as it currently would be. In addition, like, the recommendations themselves aim to provide like a step-by-step clarification of what is required of all the different parties at every step of the way. And also, once we have agreement on the recommendations and the process, there's a recommendation there to make sure that there's a development of educational informational materials to all the affected parties, so we really can make sure that people understand and know what is required of them, and as well include some of the best practices that are being discussed by the working group. I think that's mainly on the recommendations itself. As I said, if you go to the next slide, we do have a workshop that goes into more detail on these recommendations tomorrow on Thursday. I'm already one step ahead. The initial report is posted for public comment. So if you can attend the session, but do you have specific views on this, please submit your comments either through the stakeholder group or individual comments. Once the working group had the chance to review all the comments received as well, based on what we heard, what the working group heard here and the comments submitted, they will work on finalizing a report, which would then be submitted to the GNSO Council, hopefully for adoption. So I think that's where that stands. I don't know if anyone has any questions on this effort or any comments.
Wow, you've left people speechless, Marika. It's great.
Okay, then moving on to the next topic. So the purpose of GTD registration data, PDP. I think you already probably heard quite a lot about this effort over the last couple of days. If you can go to the next slide, please. So this is the, I don't think I have to talk about this one, so if you can move on to the next slide. As you know, this is part of a board-initiated PDP on this topic, which basically is trying to start the whole discussion afresh on who is, or as we're now calling it, you know, the purpose of GTLD registration data. So basically it's a two-pronged approach where on the one hand, the board has already initiated a PDP by requesting an issue report, which staff has published in the meantime, and or the preliminary version, which is open for public comment. And on the other hand, has also launched the expert group, which will feed its findings into the PDP. So the idea is that once the working group concludes its work, those recommendations will feed into the final issue report, which will then be submitted to the GNSO Council and then feed into the PDP working group as the next step of that. So where we are with that, as I said, the preliminary issue report has now been published for public comment. If you can go to the next slide. The report itself at this stage contains more of a background on, you know, what has done, on who is, all the different efforts that have been undertaken. I really hope to provide an effort on where... a background on where and how we've come here and help as well inform further discussions on this. We're welcome public comments. The initial public comment period is open until the 19th of April and will be followed by a reply period if there's substantive comments. And as said, then we'll publish a final report following the conclusion of the expert working group and taking into account the public comments received. Any comments on the expert group? I think... I presume most of you have actually attended the working group yesterday. You know, as I said, they really are expected to start from scratch, really look at this issue with fresh eyes and really look at a model for a replacement system. Again, I'll point to Michaela as a member of the expert group. If you have questions, just ask him about this.
Yeah, I was just maybe going to put him on the spot and just ask him real quick just to give his kind of perspective on the work so far and the outlook for going forward.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, the way this is working, I mean, we're working on the basis of, let's bring together a bunch of people from totally different backgrounds, totally different perspectives, totally different experiences, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and work it back, start with the building blocks, what do you need, what's the absolute minimum, build it up from there, looking at use cases, all this kind of thing. So that's what we've been doing over the last few meetings that we've had. We met on Sunday all day. We had the public session yesterday where we got some interesting input and feedback from various community members. We're having another meeting tomorrow to try and make sense of what all that input was. And we'll be continuing our meetings and discussions. I think we're having another face-to-face meeting in New York in a couple of weeks or something. The idea is we'd have some kind of blueprint ready, hopefully by Durban. One of the things I think that's caused a bit of confusion, well, there were a couple of things. First off, in terms of timeline expectations, it took longer to get the group together than had originally been expected. And I think some of the language around the timeline might have led people to believe that we'd have been done a lot faster than is realistically possible, because I think we're the kind of view from the ICANN CEO and board downwards is let's do this properly as opposed to let's do this quickly. At least that's my understanding. I think we're also meeting tomorrow with ICANN compliance as well to get some input into some of the problems they have around who is and other things. But if anybody has any concerns or any issues or any questions about what's going on with the EWG, I'm not really that hard to find, and anybody who has difficulty contacting me, I would wonder what you're doing wrong.
So we can go to the next slide.
Like before we go on to the slides, does anybody have any queries or questions for Marika on anything she's covered so far? Apart from Adam, who has volunteered to ask questions or do something? Or
just made a simple request.
What was the request?
Let's try to encourage more participation, not scold those that dare speak. Wow, harsh.
Well, I don't know, I'm just trying to get them to actually interact with something, you know. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, so just on the next slide, I said, you know, the slides as well as a background information where you can find additional information, so a link to the public comment forum as well, well, the expert working group meeting on Monday, and where you can actually find further information about the expert group because they have their own wiki where they're posting meeting reports and any additional information that they wish to. Go to the next topic. So just very briefly, I want to mention uniformity of reporting. Can go to the next slide. It's actually a final issue report that's now in front of the GNSSO Council to decide whether or not to initiate a PDP on. For those of you that have a long ICANN memory, you may remember the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, which was a pre-PDP working group that delivered, I think, its final report in 2010, looking at some abuse-related issues and related recommendations to that. And this recommendation specifically asked for a need for more uniformity in the mechanisms to initiate, track, and analyze policy violation reports. And this mainly came back to the idea of having informed fact-based policy development. So how can we actually get more data and information that will help inform policy development discussions? So one of the main focal points at that time was what information can we actually get from ICANN compliance? And they initially were requested to provide some feedback on the systems that they had put in place or were planning to put in place and any gaps that they had identified. And based on that feedback, it became clear that they had actually, with the arrival of Maggie, put in place like a 3-year plan to improve some of the functions. And I think from our perspective, and something we outlined as well in the issue reports, that I think they probably met a lot of the requirements or the questions that were outlined by the REP working group. But still, the council did request an issue report to further look into this issue and determine whether there would be any other areas that would need further work. If we can go to the next slide. So we published the initial report, the preliminary issue report a while back for public comment. We didn't actually receive any input, so we've now issued the final report. So I said the report outlines the efforts that the compliance team has made and is making to gather data and provide metrics that will also help inform policy development activities. We did know that currently there is a lack, if you want to say it that way, in the PDP and the working group guidelines on how metrics should factor into policy development. So we've noted that as one of the areas where improvements may need to be made or where the council may want to consider undertaking some additional work. So basically measuring on how effective are policy recommendations once implemented, how to assess their success or lack of success that will then help as well inform discussions in the future or possible changes to policies. So we can go to the next one, please. So as isn't an issue where we believe there are consensus policies required at this stage, from a staff's perspective, we don't recommend initiating a PDP at this moment in time. We do recognize that, or we're basically noting that there's a lot of work being undertaken by the compliance department, so we're suggesting as well that the council await the completion of that and then makes an assessment whether additional work is needed or there are additional requirements that they would like to see in place. And we do suggest that it may be helpful to actually form a drafting team that will look at some of the other questions we identified. And one of those is that, and that may interest you, if there is a mechanism, for example, to get additional data from contracted parties. Because, of course, the complaints or information that compliance receive is only a small fraction of actual complaints out there. So we're wondering as well if there would be a kind of mechanisms or system that could be explored to benefit from all the information that you probably have within your companies. Of course, recognizing that it would need to be a way, you know, respecting confidentiality and not, you know, calling out certain registrars, but a way of trying to get further data and information that will help policy development activities, and so that working groups can really focus on those issues that are problems instead of focusing on issues that people believe may be problems where there's no actually hard data there. If you go to the next slide, please. This is a bit, I think you already heard from compliance, all the improvements they have made in their previous sessions. If you can move to the next one. Oh, and already there, but so basically just to mention, this is now up for the GNSO Council for a decision. I don't think there's no motion on the table for this meeting, but they're likely to take a decision on it at the next meeting. So on Wednesday, they'll just review the report, and as I said, we're not recommending an initiation of a PDP at this stage, but the formation of a working group to look at some of these questions. So if you have any ideas or suggestions on how we can do that more effectively, speak to your councillors as they will be voting on that eventually. So if there are any comments or questions on that topic, I will just move along. So the next issue that's also up for a decision by the GNSO Council relates to the translation and transliteration of contact information, another subject that relates to the existing WHOIS. There's also a final issue report where the Council now needs to decide whether or not to go ahead with a policy development process. You can go to the next slide, please. Again, I think this initiative has been discussed quite extensively as well over the weekend, and I believe that many of you are probably familiar with this. So basically, we had an initial or preliminary issue report, again, asked for public comment, and we've now updated it to the final report reflecting the comments that were received. Again, here's also a possible link with the expert working group, because of course if the WHOIS system changes substantively, this may also change how contact data is factored in. So we're a bit wondering, at least from the staff side as well, how to make sure we don't cross each other, but at the same time we want to recognize as well this is a really important topic, especially with IDNs becoming more prevalent and the issue of contact data and contacting others in other places of the world. We can go to the next slide. So I think at this stage, this is just an example in need on the translation and transliteration. If you go to the next slide, please. So basically, staff has put forward a suggested motion to the Council for its consideration. It hasn't been made yet, so it's, again, one where probably a decision will be taken at the next meeting. There will be a discussion on Wednesday. We're actually suggesting to go ahead with the initiation of the PDP, which will allow staff to already start some investigations or some studies on this topic, especially with in relation to commercial feasibility of any requirements or changes to the system, because, of course, there would be a cost involved if there would be requirements for translation and transliteration in this regard. So it would allow some pre-work already to start, but at the same time watch closely the deliberations and possible outcome of the expert working group and see how that would factor in to the policy development process. So we need to see a bit as well with members of the Council that are interested in this area, how they would like to see this issue moving forward, because I know I see Joav already diving to the mic, because I know for some of you it's a real high profile and important issue, so we'd really be interested to hear as well what your perspective is on how to move forward on this and what the next steps should be.
Well, personally, I think we should move forward on a PDP. What? Yeah. Oh, sorry. I said personally, I think we should move forward on a PDP, but I just wanted to ask a small question. What did you mean about cost? Where the cost for translation, transliteration?
I believe, I mean, I'm not an expert on this topic, but I believe that one of the questions is, of course, if you put in a requirement for translation and transliteration, someone would have to bear the costs of that. So would that be a registrar cost, a registrant cost? Are there other sides? So it's talking about the commercial feasibility of putting a system in place that would require transliteration and transliteration.
Probably,
that's my understanding.
I assume that it should probably be the registrant, but runt, not rar.
Right, so again, it's on the agenda for tomorrow, and the real experts on this topic are Steve Shang and Julie Headland, so please ask them your questions as well, because they'll probably give a better detailed answer on this one than I can. Are you waving at me, Michaela? Or? Oh, okay. Any other questions on this topic? If not, maybe then we can jump ahead to the IRTP Part D, which is a couple of slides further.
Marika, just one quick comment. Your slides seem light in the photo category this meeting. They're light in the photo category. Usually you have very good graphics and good use of stock photography, but you seem to have dialed it back a little bit.
Yeah, they're not all mine, so maybe that's it. I'll encourage my team to use more funny pictures for you. So the inter-registrar transfer policy D, so it's, as James says, I think it's the D and done. It's the hopefully last one in at least this series of PDPs on the transfer policy. Because I hate to say it, but I'm sure there will be others in the future because the transfer policy is still there for a while, I believe. You don't think
if
so?
If there is ever another transfer policy or series, first of all, find somebody else because I'm not. But no, secondly, I mean, I think when we get done with this and realizing it took us 4 years, right, since we started IRTPA, Paul Diaz was Network Solutions. Paul Diaz of Network Solutions kicked us off. Maybe it's time to step back and take a holistic view of whether we even need this anymore and whether we could just revamp it completely differently. But I'll let you continue. But this is the end of the caboose on the train here. This is it. No more IRTP policies after this.
And I hate to depress you even more because I think this was already on the way when I joined ICANN in 2008. So I think it's already going for its fifth year because we had a denial.
We'll just give it a transfer.
Well, it comes back to the broader question as well because, of course, as you have policies like an ICANN, we like to review everything. So we may want to think at some point as well. I mean, it's a broader question on how we go about reviewing policies that are in place. I mean, we have ERP, I think, is now. It's not PADNR anymore, but ERP. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we may want to have a discussion at some point how to go about reviewing policies that are in place so we can make adjustments if needed or bring issues to the table. Anyway, focusing on IRTP Part D, if you can go to the next slide. So this working group kicked off recently and is actually looking at, I think we have 6 charter questions, if you can go to the next slide. 4 of them are actually looking at the transfer dispute resolution policy. So looking at questions as should there be requirements for registries and dispute resolution provider to provide feedback on, you know, what disputes they see and how they're being resolved, which currently doesn't exist. Asks whether there should be a possibility for registrants to use the TDRP. One of the things I think we discussed over the weekend, actually, is that there's a very low incidence of TDRPs. So one of the conclusions may be, okay, there are no disputes. So that's why there are none being filed. But at the same time, from an ICANN compliance point of view, it's the highest number of consumer complaints we received. So there's somewhere a disconnect with a very high number of complaints, but a very low number of disputes. So is there a disconnect? Is that because it can only be initiated by a registrar who may not want to or doesn't believe a dispute should be initiated? It looks as well at what are the current mechanisms in place. We have had comments already because, as you may be aware, there's a two-tier approach, so you can file the dispute either with the registry provider or with a appointed dispute resolution provider. Registries have already suggested or asked whether they can be taken out of the equation. From their point of view, with many new registries coming on board, it may not be scalable for them to continue providing this service, and it may be better suited to actually have that done at a dispute resolution level. What are the other questions? There's also a question on how to handle disputes when multiple transfers have occurred. Should there be any guidelines? I think it's when we come into the, you know, registrar hopping. How do you deal with a dispute that has actually multiple registrars involved? And then there are 2 other questions that relate to, I think one question actually here is not mentioned, but I think one question has probably already been taken over by events as it was developed such a long time ago, because it actually asks whether there should be penalties for IRTP violations. But those actually predate the 2009 RAA, where there are graduated sanctions in place. So that may be, I don't want to presume, maybe a simple answer, but nothing is ever simple when it comes to a PDP, I believe. And then there's a last question that deals with whether the EPP auth info codes have actually overtaken the need for FOAs. That's another question that actually came from the previous working group where this working group will be looking at. So this working group has actually only formed recently. So if any of you are interested in this topic or any of the other ones that I haven't been talking about, like Thick Who Is, we have an INGO PDP. All these working groups are open always to anyone interested to participate. So if you're interested, just, you know, come and find me or write the GNSO secretariat or talk to any of your counselors and they'll be able to get you on the mailing list. So the working group is really at its starting phase. It has reached out to the different stakeholder groups and constituencies. So you should have seen a request as well, I think, coming through on your mailing list with a request for input. And as these issues are really close to registrars, we would really welcome any information you may have that will help inform the working group's deliberations. The working group is having a face-to-face meeting on Thursday morning. No, Wednesday. Is it Wednesday, James? Wednesday morning, right? Tomorrow morning. Yes, tomorrow morning from 7:30 to 9 is on the schedule. So if you want to see the working group in action or have a look and see whether it's something you would like to get involved in, just come over. We may even have some coffee and croissants for you there as an incentive to come so early.
See, don't say that, because then people come and they drink the coffee and they eat the croissants and they sit in the Wi-Fi and they don't... No, it's we welcome everybody. We don't want to bribe them.
It is at 7:30.
Wow, that might not be the best time to encourage more participation, but that's cool. I will just echo what Marika said and give a shout out to James, who has been active in these for a long time, but also try to recruit some new blood into the working group, because again, I mean, you can see very clearly here that these I don't think there's an issue that affects registrars more than transfers, frankly. So if you are interested in participating, do we have other registrars that are?
Yeah, if you go to the next slide, Caitlin, I think we have the membership.
Slide, I think, with the membership breakdown. There it is.
Yep. Excellent.
Yeah, Volker, Holly, Hope, McKelly.
So you do already have quite a number of registrars.
But
I
would quite happily leave that working group.
Kick them out.
Quite happily.
And so if you can go to the next slide. I think I already mentioned that. So we have asked for your input, and the working group has started looking at the charter questions, basically trying to determine what needs to be undertaken to, what information needs to be gathered in order to be able to answer these charter questions. Go to the next slide. James has set a very aggressive... James is the chair of this working group.
Can I walk through this slide? Do you mind?
Yeah, no.
So one of the things that you hear... I'm gonna take a holistic view. People have been subverting ICANN processes, trying to get stuff into contracts, going to the board and everything. Why? Because they say the PDP doesn't work and it takes too long, and there's just a general lack of confidence in that as a viable mechanism to make changes. So one of the things we've tried to do with these PDPs, these transfer PDPs, is we've got the experts, we've got the data, or the people who can get the data, we've got commitments to meet frequently and to drive these things through. There's no reason why they can't be aggressive and short exercises. They shouldn't. We're challenging the ICANN culture, I think, a little bit. We're registrars, we're businesses. We like to keep things moving in commercial time frames, not ICANN time frames, so that we resist this idea that these things have to take 14, 18, 24 months, and we're trying to push them through in this one particular by November, by the meeting in Buenos Aires. And as Marika said, that's pretty aggressive, and I've actually had folks pull me aside before and say, "Ooh, you're cutting corners, 9 months to do a PDP. Slow down, Tiger." But really, we think that we have everything we need. Why drag this out? Let's get it going. Let's get these questions on the table, and let's get some results. So there, that's my cheerleading. So if you like that kind of PDP, come join the IRTP.
Any hands for joining? Not yet.
You can all. You can also join.
We'll start just volunteering you if you want. I mean, we're happy to do that.
Yep, I see a hand.
Oh, who is that gentleman?
I don't know.
Okay.
Where?
Excellent.
Wonderful.
We didn't hear
Perfect.
That, but...
If you can email us afterwards, we'll put you in contact.
Yeah, you don't actually have to raise your hands. That's probably not the most effective way to do it, but just send McHaley, James, or myself an email. Yeah, that's good. Good work. McHaley's out.
I'm leaving that PDP. Thank you.
No, don't.
So it's all a ploy by Marika to try to get McHaley off the group.
So I think this is everything I have for you today. So I don't know if there are any other questions or any other topics you want to hear about. I mean, I think there are quite a few issues that may come up over the next couple of months where we'll need new volunteers. As I said, there are two issues that will come up for a decision by the council whether or not to initiate a policy development process. One of the questions I have, and we'll need to discuss it internally as well, with the completion now or near completion of the REA negotiations, there is still as well the REA PDP was started that basically identified that if there would be any remaining open items on the list that would need to go into a PDP that would kick off as well. And looking there, I don't know if there are any, or I think one of the questions probably is proxy privacy accreditation.
Yeah, I'd say probably privacy proxy is the only one that comes to my mind anyway. Is there anything else that would go into a PDP that wasn't addressed in the RIA? James? Jeff? Anything you guys? I don't think there was.
Yeah, no, I think we kept wanting to punt things to PDPs as opposed to getting them into that. It's possible that some might end up there specifically. One draft of the PDP had us agreeing to the output of the expert working group in advance. So we did, you know.
I got that one knocked on the head fairly quickly.
Yeah. So that was I don't think the expert working group was driving that. I think that.
Yeah, that was.
But that we talked about perhaps some of the validation, verification, and baking specifications, i.e., you know, into there because they change, right? So that's what a PDP is for, and the privacy proxy spec.
Right. So there's a lot of interesting work that will be coming all our way. So. Please keep an eye out, and as I said, all the calls for volunteers always go up on the ICANN website, the GNSO website, and presumably also go out through the registrar stakeholder group, so keep an eye there. Frederic?
Yes, I just wanted to know, you said there were some complaints, lots of complaints about transfers. Do you have any graphs, like the percentage of complaints versus number of domain name? And as you have an IRT, well, these processes, A, B, C, D, is it decreasing? Is it helping to solve problems?
I don't have graphics. It did provide a report to the working group on complaints specifically related to this issue. And I think that on the ICANN compliance side of the ICANN website, I think they do provide a breakdown of how the complaints compare to other complaints. I don't think there's a breakdown related to domain names. It's something I can ask. I don't know if they have that or is easily to provide. But and to your other question, the thing is that I think a lot of IRTPA actually didn't produce any consensus policy recommendations. I think there were some. I think we had an advisory, and the ones for B and C are still in the process of being implemented. So I think it's basically too early to actually draw that conclusion on whether they helped improve or not. But it's a very good question, and I think it comes back as well to the metrics question on at what point do we assess whether indeed those recommendations had an effect and reduce the level of complaints.
Yeah, because and also you could even compare this figure to the other TLDs, just to because you don't really know if it's a huge problem or not. So if you compare it to other TLDs, you have the graph and you see the decrease.
Right. No, it's a very good point, and I'll definitely take that back.
Any other comments, questions from Marika on policy stuff?
If I can maybe just thank all the hardworking registrar volunteers and all the PDP working groups. It's really great, all the efforts you're putting in and the leadership you're showing in many of these groups and the input that's being provided as well by the stakeholder group as a whole in many of these efforts. So I just want to thank you for that. And just want to let you know as well.
I just want to point out that this is like a grand irony, Marika thanking us.
Yeah.
Her and her colleagues really do a lot of the heavy lifting in these groups. And I think those of you who've been in the groups have seen, like, we have a meeting for an hour where we discuss 9 things, and then it turns into a whole new document. Well, I didn't write that document. You know, that came from Marika and her team. So thank you. And you know, we work very well together, I think, the volunteers and the policy staff, and I think that that's one. There's certainly no shortage of things to complain about in ICANN, and that's not one of them. So thanks.
Thanks, James.
Agreed. Thanks, Marika.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, we've got a quick slot on the schedule to talk about registrar onboarding, and then our colleagues at ARI have a presentation before they are bringing in lunch, so a big shout-out to them for that. And I think, Mike, you're going to talk to the registrar onboarding piece?
So I just found out a few seconds ago that I'm talking to this, so I'm sorry that I don't have the most up-to-date information for you, but I can give you a little bit of background on this. There's been an initiative that registrars and registries began The idea was that with this world of new TLDs, that registrars wanted to be able to sign up to new TLDs in a fairly efficient way. Registries wanted to be able to enter into RRAs with registrars in a fairly efficient way. And it seemed the most logical way to do that would be perhaps to extend the database that ICANN has right now, which we call Radar, you know, to use that in a way that would allow registrars and registries to come together, enter into their agreements, and basically have one central point where that would happen, so that every registry or every registrar is not tracking, you know, trying to track down the other to, you know, engage each other. So there's been a project that's been underway. We've retained David Conrad at I forget the name of his consulting firm. I think it was JAS, who's been doing the technical heavy lifting here, and we've got a requirements document that's come about through work among registrars and registries, and several who are either in the room or on the online chat. So if they want to add anything, that would be fine. But generally, this has been a little bit slow going at times. But I think the message that I would like to just share with you today is that, you know, staff is very supportive. Management is supportive of this. I think, you know, we see value in it too. So, you know, the idea is we want to make this happen in a time that will be useful for registrars and registries and new TLDs. So I would offer to answer questions. I probably don't know the answer, but otherwise, you know, I can cede the floor to ARI or whoever, you know, whatever you're going to do.
Yep.
Go ahead, Jeff.
So, Mike, I'm not going to put you on the spot since I know you don't have the answers, but I think it's something that is critical to this group, and if you could send an update to the registrar stakeholder group, because I can see it as a huge bottleneck going forward, and I'd love to know where ICANN is in the process and where what we can do, if there's others that aren't aware of it, to help out to expedite the accreditation process and how that will work and how we interact with registries, because we are, you know, hopefully a month or two away, and I don't think we have a defined process in place yet. So if you could send us the updates, that would be great, and we could start working on it, because I'm just concerned there might be additional work or other things to for registrars to do to actually make it easier, but we still have to pass that technical hurdle to make that happen. So I think the sooner the better.
I'll just take Mike off the hook quickly on that, because Carla did and has shared some information. I have spoken briefly to David Conrad as well. Okay, David worked with Carla and those of us who were involved in that group to put together that technical specification and the feedback and everything else. And Carla, I think she's in with the registries today. Is that right, Mike? So when we go to the registries later on, she might be able to address a couple of those questions. There was some pushback, I think, on several of the contractual issues. And one of the things that several of us had problems with was either it was obligatory for all registries to use some parts of this, or it was kind of pointless. So I think, Jeff, if we can take poor Mike off the chopping block for once.
Yeah, I said he is. I'm not asking him here, but I think it's something that we should address today when we're all together, either if she can come in here or when we're together, because I'm sure the registries are just as anxious to know the details.
And I would just add, you know, we've heard that statement, McKaylee, you know, that registrars and registries both seem to have an interest in making this something that everybody must use. And I think that, you know, we're aware of it on staff, and I think, you know, whether or not it's possible is another matter, but I think we're supportive of that.
James, did you want in the queue?
Yeah, and I don't know if this is directly related to Mike's comment or even the topic that we're discussing, so I'll just wing it. But, you know, we're talking about our AAs and RAs at this meeting, but, you know, it's probably time to have a discussion about RRAs as well, and how registries can use ICANN and perhaps even this system that you're building to automate those. Because I think that we need to talk about how we're going to harmonize those as well. That's a whole different animal that hasn't even been tackled yet.
So I think there's maybe kind of two points to what you're saying. One is the substance and making those sort of consistent, that they're a little bit easier for registrars to deal with on a operational and sort of a legal basis, and the other is the actual processing of them. And this system is intended to facilitate the processing of them, so that, you know, it's very easy to enter into the new RRAs with registries and, you know, registrars.
Jeff,
Yeah, I think we haven't even started those conversations is what I was getting at, so thanks.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Let us move on. I see Adrian raring and ready to go. You can roam if you want, just a handheld mic. I said you can stand on there and run. Okay. However, yeah, it's your show, man.
Full Donahue style.
So you can even jump off the stage and do
don't
it.
Don't get up and go. I'm blocking the doorways. What are you doing? Where are you going? Oh, Melanie, get these guys on the way out with a
run for the hills.
You're
going to
take these documents whether you like it or not. Okay, Mal, this side. Get this door. This guy's going. Okay, guys, I realize that the old cliche, I am standing between you and lunch. I'm also standing between you and them. But I just want to go through this slide deck really quickly. We were more than happy to sponsor lunch. Why are you getting up? Okay, good. That's good. Thank you. Just checking. I assume that you guys should be asking a lot more of a premium for lunches going forward. This was relatively cheap for me to do. Next meeting, there's going to be a lot of registries fighting for this spot. Wanting to get in front of you to get this, so make sure you guys charge appropriately. But please remember the fact that we've been long-time supporters. Let's keep going. So this is to all the registrars out there. There's lunch waiting for you in boxes that we're paying for. But we really want you to just listen for a couple of minutes here to get a feel for, I guess, what you're in for in signing up to a registry service provider, which is kind of a hub. And we're connected to all of our registries, okay? So I got a bit of a slide deck here to go through. That's me. That's my CTO, who is somewhere in the audience. Where are you? He's standing over there. He's the brains on the good looks, clearly. There's my Twitter account, too. You see what I do every morning. Thanks. Next slide, please. Am I doing that? I guess that's what I'm doing. So why do you want to come and connect to ARI? Fairly simply, we've got a bucket load of strings. They're good. I think you'll see when we get into some of the detail. We've been working with registrars for a long time. We've been a registry for about 10 years, just over. And so we think we understand the needs of registrars, and we've tried to hone our onboarding process, different to the onboarding process you're talking with ICANN, but the ramp-up process, tried to hone that and to try to make it as easy as possible. And we also think we'll be supporting the very first TLD to be live. But there'll be some more information about that. Next slide, please. So we went out in the last couple of meetings, and we've asked registrars, what do you expect of a registry service provider? How do you want your billing? We led a group on that. We called into some of the other registries because we wanted to make a uniform experience. There's a gentleman asleep in the audience. And he's awake. Hi. Good to see you. Do you want me to go back to the start? No, that's all right. We got other registries involved because we wanted to try and get a uniform experience for registrars. One thing you don't want to be doing as a registrar is having to go through completely different registries and different systems every time of engagement, billing and everything. So we've tried to be consistent. We tried to involve the community somewhat unsuccessfully, but at least we made an effort. And I think that effort is going to be, you'll see that when you sign up to us, where that reward will be. So you spoke, we listened. Next slide, please. Okay, so what were the three things that came out of it that you wanted from your registry service provider? The first one was simplified integration. We've done that. Okay, we believe that we've created a nice, efficient method for you to get on board. Secondly, you wanted some good products on your shelves, right? You guys are like a supermarket now. You're going to have people fighting over your shelf space. We want to make sure that in coming and joining us, that you see that the shelf space is worthwhile filling with our products. And lastly, you wanted to be able to work with registry operators that we're going to invest in marketing. Okay, and I think for those of you that don't know my company, I think one thing we are good at, probably not much else, but one thing we are good at is our marketing. So we will be working with the registries to make sure that they're pushing their TLDs in the right way that's beneficial to you to make sure that you're able to sell a lot of the product. Next, thanks. Okay, so this simplified integration, we're going to go through each one of these. We've dumbed it down as easy as possible. We realize that there's an international audience for this as well. In this booklet that I have in my hand that we're going to hand out to you guys has basically our a couple of things. It has a nice letter from me, but then has a registry implementation guide that takes you through a few of the steps. So you'll see that. You'll need to sign a contract about getting access to us. That's just standard. Maybe a little bit different, and maybe you're not used to doing that. A lot of the times you guys will have been familiar with the fact that you've signed a contract with a registry operator who is also the technical provider. Okay? Conventionally, like VeriSign for .com. This is different now. Because now you're going to have to technically sign an agreement with me that talks about your access and that you're going to behave yourself. And then you're going to want to sign a contract with the registry provider. The registry itself. So we're talking about the back end here. We want you to integrate with our technical environment. We've tried to do that. And then you turn on the TLDs and you activate. Okay? But that's all in detailed in this document that I have. Next slide, please.
Hey, Adrian, we've got a remote question for you. Are you taking questions?
Already? Yeah. Wow. Okay, this will be good. Who from my office is dialing in? Is it my wife?
This is a question from Frank Miklick. Sorry if I'm butchering your name. Regarding simplified integration, does ARI does something beyond EPP?
Okay. I'm looking at my technical guy. Maybe we need to speak into the mic so they can hear you. But you know what? We might take that question at the end if you don't mind. We'll circle back to that. Give Chris a couple of seconds to get his thoughts together. So where do you go to? If you go to ariservices.com/registrars, as we onboard new TLDs, as they're ready to go, you'll get more information about it there, and you'll also be able to contact our team. So go there. Next slide, please. Okay, let's talk about a few of the products we've got on the way, your way. As I say, we believe we've got some good ones, some that aren't in contention, and we'll be ready to go early, giving you the opportunity to earn some revenue early, okay? Which is why we felt at this meeting that we'd come out of the gate pretty hard and get in your face. Next slide, please. So what's coming soon? Thank you. Next slide. Okay, .shabaka, which means .web in Arabic. It's prioritized number 3 in the draw. Before it is .catholic in Chinese and Amazon's .book in Japanese or something, maybe. Anyway, we think that the guys from Shabaka are prepared to sign the base agreement and will move fairly quickly. So based on that, we think they'll be the first TLD to go live. Okay? It'll be the first cross-border Arabic TLD, of course. We've only had CC TLDs before this that were in Arabic. So you see there, it provides an emotional connection between Arabic culture and online communication. We think it's a ripper. It received front page news when it had the... that's an Australian thing, isn't it? I'm sorry about that. It's a ripper. It's really good. It made all the news across the Arabic nations when the initial evaluation results were announced, front page in some circumstances. So we were pretty excited by that. So that's a good one. Next slide, please. The next one we have is .menu. .menu is 132. You'll know that all the IDNs went beforehand, so it's early for the ASCIIs. And we think potentially may well be with one of the first ASCIIs launched. And in fact, the guys from .menu are in the audience today, and they've also assisted in providing lunch. Stand up for me, gentlemen, please. It's these guys here. Make sure you track them down. They'll tell you more about this TLD. We're excited about it too. Early in the draw, great TLD for getting out to the masses and at a decent premium. We think it'll do really, really well out in the market. Not contended, obviously. So therefore able to with some predictability, get out to market. So that's a great reason for you to come and connect to ARI. Next slide, please. Lastly, marketing. We're heavy on it. We believe in it. We're certainly working with our registry partners, evident here with the .menu guys and what you're about to see when you go and get your lunch. So we will be working, trying to create innovative ways to promote our strings, but also ways to work with you, the registrar channel. And we think we've done that successfully in the namespaces we currently manage. So we'd like to certainly take ideas from you on how to best do that and act as a nice conduit between the registries themselves and and you guys, the registrars. Thank you. So one other thing I should talk about, when we have these swatches here, which is a list of every string we have. You'd be familiar with this if you've ever done any home decorating. I know my wife's certainly familiar with it. And we've listed all of our strings and highlighted ones that are coming out soon. I have two of my staff, Melanie and Chloe, are at the back. So you're going to get bombarded as you walk out. You're going to get one of these and then one of the booklets. So I urge you to read through the booklet. It has registry implementation details in there if you're that way inclined. My CTO is here to talk through some of those issues for you. But outside of that, guys, there's a box at the back for lunch. So is it working lunch, Matt, or are they coming back in, or are you going to take your time?
Yep, coming back in
at 1 o'clock. So it is now 10 past, roughly.
Yep.
So, guys, you've got 50 minutes. Grab the box on the way out. Please read the information that we have. I appreciate your time. I get that it's tough and you're getting the lunch and the energy levels are low. But please consider connecting to ARI. Get in early. We're going to get busy. We've got a lot of strings. We're going to have registrars. We certainly want to make sure that you guys are at the ready to start earning revenue as soon as bloody possible. Lord knows we've been waiting long enough. So please take the time, read the information, come and contact any of us, reach out. There's some contact details within the booklets if you need anything further. And I'm happy to take that question and any others now. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adrian.
Yeah, I just want to thank Adrian and the ARI team for stepping up and providing lunch. And
there's some goodies coming in the afternoon as well.
Oh, wow.
A little dot menu special for you coming this afternoon. If you're here, a little bit of incentive. Something sweet
nice.
For you. Chris, did you want to answer the question? Do you want to grab this mic or something to answer the...
So what I believe the question was trying to get at was what other interfaces does Oslo Industry offer beyond the EPP specification or the EPP interface? I think that's what they were getting at. So from that perspective, of course, EPP being the protocol mandated by ICANN and every registrar having experience in at the moment is the primary interface that we offer. We do have a fully functional web interface that goes far above and beyond the web interfaces of almost all the other registries that enables you to create varying levels of accounts and users within those accounts, assign permissions to those users, control what they can and can't do within the systems, as well as for those of you that have multiple registrar accreditations, it actually allows you to group all those accreditations together into one account within the system so that you can interact with all those accreditations from the one login and so forth. So you don't need to go out and create or have to deal with having username and passwords for all those different accreditations and so forth. So we put a lot of thought into those different interfaces. We did talk earlier with registrars about building some sort of RESTful-based interface. There was a few registrars that, for some reason, don't like EPP and wanted to do it in a non-standard way. But the general consensus that we got from all the discussions we were having is that you guys are now too invested into EPP and you don't want to switch to any other sort of protocol and so forth. So we didn't explore that any further. But if there is renewed interest in that, we'll certainly talk to people about it. Is there any other questions that we want to cover off?
Adam. Grab John's got the mic.
I get it.
Your work never ends, John.
Thank you. Hey guys. Adam Eisner, first time caller, long time listener. is the platform basically based on AU or is it something that you guys sort of separated out as something new?
Yeah, so it's obviously based on the same technical infrastructure underneath, but .au has a very different domain name lifecycle to what you're used to in the GTLD environment and so forth. So to make things easier for registrars, we wanted to make sure that we sort of were more in line with the life cycles and so forth that you're used to, having auto-renew and those sort of things. So the platform from that perspective is a newer one. It follows a similar life cycle to .com. It has auto-renew. It has all the things that GTLD registrars are used to operating with and the behaviors that you guys are used to dealing with. We've put a lot of effort into trying to have a system that is something that should be easy for you guys just to plug into and just works, and also get rid of all those barriers that you have with existing registries. So the documentation that you've got there goes through section by section, or that you will have, goes through section by section, each part of the registry, and tells you about things that we've done at the request of registrars that supposedly make it easier for you guys. So hopefully we've done well at that. But if we haven't, and if there's something that you're missing that you want, or some behavior that the registry doesn't have that would make things easier for you, let us know, and we'll get it into our development cycles, and we'll get it out there.
Thanks, Chris.
Don't get right to me. Anything else?
Would anyone else like to delay us from having lunch? State your name clearly.
I shall talk very slowly. Ben Anderson, NetNames. Adrian, question for you. You're obviously helping a lot of applicants, and most of us will want to see some kind of uniformity, which you're obviously trying to do. My question is, though, when you're talking to your applicants about their launch processes, what do you think is an acceptable time from delegation to pushing forward a TLD's plans for registrars to start offering the TLD? Because I'm hearing, you know, the IDN is a great TLD. It should go live. Let's get cracking. But, I mean, how much time do you think registrars should have to get their systems in order, to have their front ends up and running in order to accept orders for those TLDs?
Ben, thanks. If I understand the question, it's, if I can turn it around a little bit, is it that registries need to be conscious of the ramp-up time for a registrar to technically get connected, yeah, and don't go jam in a land rush or, you know, on a sunrise land rush with short times and expect us to be able to jump? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I mean, the technical part, I think, for all of us is quite easy. You know, connecting to an EPP server is child's play, for some anyway. We won't name names. they're not here anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's all the other stuff that we have to do to get our customers feel like they're involved and actually want to buy the TLD itself. And we have to do a certain amount of work to publicize that fact.
Yeah. So I think we see launch obviously is integral to the success of a you know, a registry. It's where they really want to, the rubber meets the road for these guys. What we're trying to do is work with them to get as much of an understanding of what their goals are. We're actively in their faces, trying to say, as soon as you've locked down launch, you need to let us know, because we need to let registrars know. So I don't know that there's a set time, but we're certainly conscious of it and are pushing back to our clients to say, if you want to make this a success, registrars are an integral part of that. They need to understand what the runway looks like as soon as possible. Otherwise, they're not going to be there, or you're only going to get a few of them. Or, you know. And you know, the other part after that is the registrars are the conduit to the customer.
Turn the mic on.
Oh, is it not?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, sorry, I've just been told from elsewhere.
Oh, okay.
You were mic.
Yeah, was I? I've been told. Now I lost my train of thought.
We're the conduit to the register.
To the end user. So, you know, they want to get to, you know, you guys need to get your out to your network to say, hey, this TLD is launching, and this is the launch process and everything as well. So all of that takes time. We understand that. I don't know that I can add much more to it than that unless you've got anything.
No, it's just, we're conscious of the exact issues that you're talking about, and we're advising our registry operators that we have on those things. And at the end of the day, you know, they're our customer. We have to do what they want. But, in order to be successful and sell names, they need registrars. So if they're not paying attention to what the registrars need and the time that they need and so forth, well, it's to their detriment. And, that's a pretty powerful message to send to them. So they tend to stand up and pay attention.
What exactly is it you're advising them? Because I want to...
Just...
Does anybody else want to get John Berryhill upset?
Well, that's
Adrian,
a long
Adrian,
list.
I have one question. No, just one question.
Very
out
easy
of curiosity. Have you done anything about the financial aspect of it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this for some of us, this is a major blocker.
I'll start on a billing conversation because it's a big one, and then I'll let Chris correct me. So we certainly didn't want to I think the norm has been you've got to go and put money into a registrar's account, and then blah, 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 different currencies. We, when we went out and spoke to registrars, what we got told was they don't want to do that. Why do we have to? And then so what we've been advising our registry operators is you pay for your phone monthly. You know, you get an invoice, and that's how it works. There's so many ways within your business that you do it on invoice. So we're recommending to our registries that you do it on invoice, and we think that's fair. You guys are going to have to outlay if all the registry operators want money in the accounts to get going from you. There's a lot of money. You're going to have to be very, very selective about who you go to, because you've only got limited funds to put into accounts. So from our point of view, we're advocating do it on billing, work out limits as to what your spending is and whatever else. That'll occur over time, but certainly invoice billing. And if there's difference, as Chris said earlier, come and let us know. But I'm seeing a lot of nodding of heads as to the preference. Rob Villeneuve is and thumbs up too. Thank you.
So do you get a sense? You know, is that message being received? I mean, what's your sense that people that the registries will actually do
so far so good?
Okay.
We're getting a good response. We're certainly going and tapping them on the shoulder early, right? Because saying, have you thought about billing? Because otherwise you're going to have some headaches.
Thanks, Adrian. But it's one of the things that for several of us is a major headache.
Yeah, and that would be it'd be great if even the registrars could come out as a group and say something about some of the things that you want, because it makes us, we can then, if it was a communique, we could forward to the registry operators or something and then say, this is what they're expecting, you know, that sort of message. I think it would be easy, because otherwise it's just us arguing. So just an idea.
Yeah, no, it's the second time the word communique has come up today. We're going to start to be like the GAC.
Yeah.
God, help us.
So long as that communique contains things that we can do.
Yeah.
Do
you want just six you? UN languages as well? Do you?
Okay. Anything else, guys?
Okay.
Thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it. Enjoy your lunch. It's just a box lunch. It's not hot or anything, but it's still nice. It's healthier too. And as I say, we'll give you the unhealthy stuff this afternoon if you're back in the room. Don't forget to see Melanie and Chloe on the way out. Grab an information booklet and one of the swatches that we've got. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Adrian. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. And guys, just as a reminder, we're back in here in 40 minutes, 1 p.m. Thanks.